together. This is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe. With the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
God has assigned and anointed and appointed us to do as well. That's why you need the presence, person, and power of the Holy Ghost in your life. So having said that, I want us to look at, as we will, the word of wisdom, which comes from the gift of the Spirit, and love, which comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to walk through each 9 of the gifts and each 9 of the fruit of the Spirit, so that I can show you that you need a balance. That's the purpose for understanding. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is for the what? For the person. That has to do with the inward part of you. That has to do with the spiritual part of you. That has to do with that's connected to you. You need the fruit of the Spirit for you. The gifts of the Spirit is for what? Performance, for you to do what God's called you to do, charged you to do, empowered you to do as a believer in the earth realm. So it's the power of the Holy Spirit present to do the things that God has assigned and appointed for you to do. So you need a balance. John prayed for Gaius in 1 John 3 and 2, that you would be in health and prosper even as your soul prospered. He wanted him to have perfect health. He wanted him to have perfect wealth, but he wanted all three to be in balance as his soul was in harmony with the word, the will, and the way of God. In other words, when there is a balance in your life, and I want to share like this, what sense would it really make if you had all the health and strength in the world and didn't have a job or no money? Could you really enjoy life to its fullest? No, you really couldn't. Because this world uses money as an exchange for goods, services, etc. So you need money. Don't fool yourself. You need it to have the kind of quality life that God would want you to have. Now, saying this as well, I want you to look at something else. What good would it profit you to have all the money in the world and had bad health? Could you really enjoy life even though you were a billionaire? Bad health? Can't eat, I mean, can't enjoy life, can't express and yourself or the ability that God has blessed you to be in a financial way. No, you couldn't enjoy life that way either. But if that was a balance and you had all this money as a billionaire and then you had the health to enjoy it and underneath the skin, you were walking in the will of God, man, can I tell you there is no better balance than that? I mean, you've experienced a little bit of heaven on earth at that point. And it's not just because of the money or it's not just because of the health. It's because there is a balance and a sense of well-being in your total person. Now, you can have that with just a little money in your pocket and good health and got it right with God. But God don't want you to be, how many of you really, if you know the word, how many of you know God don't want you just to be badly making it and just to be getting by? God wants you not only, if you go back and read in the Old Testament and look at how God prospered the people of God, even Abram, the first man that really believed God by faith, who was known and noted as the father of faith, He believed God so much so that God literally pulled him away from all of his people, pulled him away from all of his friends, pulled him away from all of his familiars and say, I want you to go to the land that I'm going to tell you of. Now, he didn't tell him when he told him, leave them where to go. He just said, leave them and I'll tell you. And he believed him. And I want you to see that Abram, who was later named Abraham after he was pulled out and transformed and changed, given a new name to enjoy his new life with all the super abundance that God gave to him. Why does God want you to live like that? So that you can be, first of all, because you are representative of him, but secondly, so that you can be a blessing to those in the earth realm. How are you going to be a blessing if you aren't blessed? So it's important to recognize, you know, it's one thing to be spiritually hyped and high and rich, enriched with all of the spirit, and ain't got nothing financially or materially to show for it. There is an imbalance there. God wants you to be blessed in both realms, both the spiritual realm and the natural realm. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you don't believe it, say, well, it may suggest why you may not be walking in the superabundance if you say, well, because that's not, again, God's will for people of God not to have a balance in their lives. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, they both operate in the lives of believers to bring a balance. First word in the fruit of the Spirit is love. First word in the gifts of the Spirit is wisdom. Second word in the gift of the Spirit is the word of knowledge. Second word in the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Third word in the gifts of the Spirit is faith. Third word in the fruit of the Spirit is peace. I'm going to go back and show you how they work together, but I just want you to write them down if you're writing down notes right now. First three words in the gift of the Spirit is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith. Fruit of the Spirit, the first three are love, joy, and peace. All right, second three words in the gifts of the Spirit, healings. The fourth word in the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Fifth word in the gifts of the Spirit is working of miracles. Fifth word in the fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Sixth word in the gifts of the Spirit is prophecy. Sixth word in the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Now again, these are the second three sets of words in both the gifts of the Spirit and in the fruit of the Spirit. All right, as we move on to the third and final group of words, the seventh word in the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. The seventh word in the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The eighth word in the gifts of the Spirit is different kinds of tongues. The eighth word in the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The gifts of the Spirit's ninth word is interpretation of tongues. The ninth word in the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, I want you to recognize that these words are there for a true and significant purpose. When you go back to the beginning, as we walk back through these words, you're going to note that beginning with this word, it sets a foundation for all the rest of these words and gifts to build upon. In other words, it starts with the most important, with the primary, what God needs you to have as a foundation in your life first. And so that's important to recognize, because when we look at that, we're going to look at the word of wisdom. Now, some of these we've covered last week, so I'm just going to move a little more quickly to it. Just write down what helps you to understand what I'm talking about in your own words, because we're going to move too fast for you to write it word for word. But the word of wisdom is supernaturally revealing or disclosing the mind, purpose, and the way of God as applied to a specific situation. If we have the wisdom of God, then we must have love, for God is love, and love is the first fruit of the Spirit. So the word of wisdom is simply the revealed word of God or mind of God, which reveals the way of God, how God wants us to know, how to operate, the will to know whether or not we're doing it right, and to understand his mind. All that is what the wisdom of God is. This is the word of wisdom right here, the Bible. Now, in the same Bible, it tells you God is love. That's the first fruit of the Spirit. So you've got wisdom, which is the word, and then you've got love, which is the first foundational fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the foundation upon which you operate in wisdom. Okay? When you've got the love of God, the wisdom of God shows you how to go in, come out. The love of God shows you how to take what you know and handle it properly. See, a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing. And a whole lot of folk mess up because they got a little word, but they may not be operating in the true wisdom of that word, because wisdom cannot fully operate, function, and flow the way God wants it to without its companion of love. See, just because you know something don't mean you got to say something. Love shows you how to operate. And if I say something, then wisdom and love will say, you know what? I don't have to hurt this person, but rather I can go to this person and say, brother, such and such and such, to this brother. Not go tell everybody else about this brother. If I can save this brother, help this brother will be grateful. The kingdom of God will be blessed because somebody who was helped and could have been turned off, turned around, and turned away is saved. So love shows you how to take what you know and operate it in it the way that God knows. How many of you know God knows everything there is to know about all of us? But when was the last time God put your business on the Oprah show? When was the last time we let down this screen and God put your name on top and list all the stuff you did last summer, last week, last night, today before you got here? What if he revealed all of your business up there? He knows it, but what do you think keeps him from doing it? Love. Love. So when you get the wisdom of God and you have the love of God, you learn how to operate in the wisdom that you know. Just because you have the power to do something don't mean you always do it. You might have the power to crush somebody's life just like that. But love says, why? Are they better served crushed? Or are they better served repented and turned around? You see, what you got to realize is the wisdom of God shows you how God would handle it, how God would do it. What would Jesus do? The phrase that we've hung on for the last decade plus, trying to follow the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you operate in wisdom and in love. Next, I want us to look at the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation of information about a specific thing and has to do with an immediate need. In other words, when you receive a word of knowledge, listen at this, it is for a specific person, a specific place, or a specific thing for a specific period or time. In other words, a word of knowledge is time sensitive. It's time sensitive. There are some things you may need to know. God speaks to your heart, tells you to say something to someone. It's for that moment. It's for that time. It's because there may be a process that by which that person may be trying to come together with a thought, an idea, might be on the verge again of committing suicide, might be on the verge of making the worst decision in life. God speaks a word. It's a ready word. It's a now word. Now to tell them, and they're about to make the decision now, and to hold this truth till tomorrow may be too late. Because they may need to know this now. And here's what they'll know. They may not even know at all who you are. God can give you a word of knowledge about somebody. You have no idea who they are, what they're doing, what it's all about. But if he's given you for that time, and you know that's one of your gifts, when you operate in it, listen, it's not even your business to know all of the particulars of it. All your business is to convey that word that God has given. Sometimes it may be a word of revelation for you about a situation, about things. You were getting ready to do this. Spirit of God gave you a word of knowledge and told you don't do this right now. You may not understand why, but you get ready to do it and you say, okay. And then 2-3 days later, you find out, well, I'm so glad I didn't do such and such a thing. But what if you had disobeyed the Holy Spirit when he had given you that word of knowledge. You'd have been out of luck, messed up. You'd have been out of place. You would have messed up and not been either blessed or the blessing you were intended to be. But now what's connected with the word of knowledge in the fruit of the Spirit as the second word? Joy. Because when you get a word of knowledge, man, it brings joy to your heart and to your life, because it is a revelation from God that you've received. And because he knows everything, and because he wants us to have the best of everything and know that, he will do that, and it always promotes joy underneath the skin. But that's also a part of the evidence of the Holy Spirit residing in you. You can't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit without the presence of the Holy Spirit. They are connected together. It is an extension of him in you producing fruit. You take him, the life-giving substance, out of you, and will you produce any more fruit? I mean, you think about it. You kill a root system in a tree. Is it going to continue producing fruit? No, of course not, because the fruit gets its life from the substance in the root. Or as the older folks say, the roots. I mean, you feel that underneath the skin up in them roots. And that's how you got to be rooted and grounded in him, and the evidence of him being in you will come out in these characteristics called the fruit of the Spirit. Third one is faith. Now, this is not the average faith found in Romans 12:3, where God has given every man a measure of faith. This is divine faith, supernatural faith. It's a special outpouring of supernatural faith for the release of a miracle. Now, there are some people that God has given a certain supernatural divine faith to believe him for something to be manifested in the earth realm for the kingdom. What he's given me faith for is to believe for things that are connected for me, to me, with me, and concerning me in the natural realm for myself, family, loved ones, etc. But when he wants me to believe for something bigger than myself, for the kingdom, I need supernatural faith that comes from God, or is referred to as the God kind of faith. So here's what it is. It's simply God choosing a vessel who believes in his word, believes in his will, believes in his way, and gives them the supernatural ability to believe that what he has said in his word, he can back up and will back up, and he just needs somebody to speak it and somebody to believe it and somebody to say, listen, he is not a man that he should lie. He's going to do just what he says. And when he knows you've been given that kind of supernatural faith to trust him in spite of what other folks say, in spite of what other folks think, you're going to stand on what God has revealed to you and believe that, man, God says, I'm going to do it because this person has believed that I, not them, is going to do what I said I'm going to do. See, there is no shortage in God's power. The problem comes in our faith to believe his power. And when we have the God kind of faith to believe God for, I mean, miraculous things beyond our ability to accomplish, beyond our ability to do. See, that's where you need the God kind of faith to believe for something so miraculous, so big, so powerful, and so wide beyond our comprehension, that you've got to have the God kind of faith to accomplish that. Natural faith can't do that, because you don't have reason nor logic to believe that it can be done, because your natural senses says it ain't never been done before. Do you know how many things were never done before that were done by people of faith, and then those that were supernaturally done for the kingdom of God because they had the God kind of faith? Every situation, both sacred and secular, were accomplished in the arenas of faith, both personal faith and the God kind of faith. And so notice, with that faith comes the peace in the fruit of the Spirit. Because when you know that there is no shortage in God, when you know that there's nothing too hard for God, when you know that God is not a man that he should lie but can back up what he says, there is a peace underneath the skin that says, if he said it, he'll do it. Praise the Lord. He will do it. Ain't no shortage, no stopping him, nobody who can hurt him, come against him. He is God all by himself. There is a peace that enters you that passes all understanding in the logic realm, in your ability to figure it out. There's a peace that just knows, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it. I just know he's going to do it. Well, how you know? I don't know. I just know. Did you hear what I said? In other words, I can't give you a detailed description of how he's going to do it. All I know is I saw the finished product. And sometimes what people miss is when God gives you a vision or a preview of what's going to happen, he does that in helping you to see the end at the beginning, actually before it ever begins, so that when it has happened, you'll know what has happened because God has done it. You can identify it because you saw it in the spirit realm. Now, he may not have given you the blueprints and the plans and given you a day-by-day description of everything that's going to happen. He just showed you the end. And when you get to the end, you're going to know you got to the end how? Because he showed you a picture of it before you ever got started with it. You know where you're going to end up, but you don't know the first step to getting there. Faith says, I don't need to know. God's going to direct me. If he showed me this is where I'm going to end, he's going to be the one to take me there. He's going to be the one to provide for me getting there. He's the one who's going to direct me there. So it's on God to get me there. I'm just excited about knowing where I'm going to be. And see, that's the kind of realm that God wants the people of God to live in, operate in, to be able to do the things God wants us to do in that realm. Faith is so impossible, so important, and it's nothing impossible when you have the kind of faith of God. The fourth gift of the Spirit is healings. Now, this is the healing that God performs supernaturally. This is not with medicine. This is not with doctors or operations. This is with the Lord's power alone. Bible says Jesus went in every city healing every manner of sickness and disease. The most powerful disease that was even spreadable and transferable was leprosy. And it was equal to what AIDS is today in our history. And yet that was not even an issue for Jesus. Not even an issue for Jesus. Now, let me just show you that, well, let me just ask first, how many of you believe that divine healing is still in force today, honestly? Let me give you an illustration of it, how it is, just on a smaller scale. How many of you have ever had a headache and simply prayed that God would remove this headache without taking any BC powder, any goodies, any bear, none of it. Didn't take none for it. Just prayed and said, and next thing you know, the headache was gone. That was supernatural healing. Now, somebody make it, that's too simple. That don't make no sense. Let me tell you something. The same God that healed the headache can heal the cancer, can heal the leukemia, can heal the lupus, can heal every sickness and disease supernaturally without any medication or without any operation. Listen at this. When Jesus did these things, he did this, and it is coupled with the word long-suffering. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years got a supernatural divine healing. Was there any medicine taken? Was there any operation from the doctor? No. What did she do? She touched the hem of his garment because that was a part of her confession. Could she have gotten her healing another way? Well, yes and no. She could have gotten it another way if she had just said, if I see Jesus. She could have gotten her healing if she just believed, I believe healing as Jesus has healed all these other folk with incurable diseases. I believe he can heal me, and in Jesus' name, I'm healed. She could have gotten it that way. But her faith was at the point of contact in touching the hem of his garment. The Bible says when she touched him immediately, Mark chapter 5, the blood stopped the flow. And she felt immediately in her that she was healed, immediately upon the point of contact. Well, now we don't have Jesus' robe now to touch to be healed, but can I tell you what we do have? This is going to be your point of contact right here. Jesus, you said in your word, if I believe, and I believe, And by simply touching this word, I'm in touching as a fact of my agreement with this word. I am touching as in believing that what you said is real, and I am healed because you said I am healed. By your stripes, you've already paid for my healing. You have already committed yourself to my healing. All I've got to do is receive my healing. Now, the reason why so many cannot be healed supernaturally is for the same reason he couldn't do many miracles in his own hometown. Can you tell me why? Because of their unbelief. That simple. You don't have it because you don't believe it. That simple. If he could heal your headache, children, he can heal every other issue you got. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Thank God for the nurses and the doctors and the hospitals and the medicine, because many of us would be dead without it. Because our faith does not support that kind of supernatural healing. And it's still relevant, it's still prevalent, and it's still available today. Miracles, healings, all of these things are still operational in the earth realm every day. Every day. Now, again, long suffering is connected with that. You remember when Paul prayed to the Lord three times to remove the thorn from his flesh, to heal him, literally. And the Lord did not heal him. Now, he had to suffer long with those thorns in the flesh, with the sicknesses that he dealt with, without being healed, because long suffering plays a part. Sometimes the Lord will allow sickness to play a role in your life to show the devil that you don't have to be perfect in order to be used. Listen at me well. See, too many of us have the wrong mindset about God using us. We think that we've got to be our best. You know, you hear some people saying, they're getting ready to say, I want you to pray for them kind of horse. I got a cold. You got a gift to say, just saying. The anointing is on you, not on how you sound. I know a whole lot of folk have beautiful, melodious voices, don't move nobody. You got some folk with some raspy voice, and get up there and tear the church up. It ain't about the sound, it's the anointing on it.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.